If you were going to an Anglican church today, you'd be reading a story off the road to Emmaus. And Luke 24, at the end of that passage, it talks about Jesus going on a journey with a couple of individuals. And I just want to kind of bounce off from there as we start, because what I want to talk about is the road to peace, because actually that's kind of what we all probably need at this point. Generally in life, there is an underlying kind of stress that we all kind of live with and we manage in certain ways. And what this lockdown and this sort of scenario has done is just sort of amp that level up for everyone. And for some of us, that's gone beyond the realms of managing, being able to be managed. And it needs, we need more help than we normally think we need. So, that's the journey we're gonna go on today. As I said, the Luke passage talks about Jesus meeting two individuals who are walking away, and they're sort of a bit like us. They have had their world turned upside down. They have everything they thought was going to happen wasn't happening. Everything they thought that they would be involved in wasn't happening. They were not sure what to do. They're kind of wandering away from Jerusalem, away from the epicenter of where Jesus and everything that he represents has been happening. When he arrived a few days earlier to the whole city shouting his name and Palm Sunday and waving palms, they thought, well, this is it. You know, Jesus is going to become everything that we hoped it is. And now they are, here he is, Jesus has died. They're not sure what's happened and their world is turned upside down. But I love the fact that Jesus, as he meets these two individuals and starts walking them, he doesn't chastise them. He doesn't start, you know, getting hard on them. He takes their perspective. He meets them where they're at, and then he adds his perspective in. He takes their thoughts and he adds his thoughts in. He doesn't squash their humanity. It's okay to be concerned and worried about the future. It's okay to think, how is my business going to survive? It's okay to think, will I ever get out? Because that's just us being human, and God doesn't berate us for that. This isn't an exercise in never thinking a worried thought. You know, it's not home on the range and never is heard a discouraging word. I mean, that's nonsense. That doesn't happen. But how long are we stuck in that pattern of thinking and speaking and worrying before actually we allow God's perspective and his voice and his words to come in and set us free? And if you carry on reading that story, they get to the end and it says their eyes are opened. They're sitting down, they're having a meal. Jesus is breaking bread with them, and suddenly their eyes are opened and they see what they couldn't see before, even though it was there in front of them. And much of what we do is about perspective. It's about changing perspective. It's about, it was in front of us, but we didn't see it. And allowing God to open our eyes so that we can see the truth of what's in front of us. So that's a little bit of what we want to talk about today. There's an amazing passage in 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 to 5. I haven't got my media coming up behind me today, but you can read it if you've got your Bibles. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Excuse me. It's fine. We take captive thoughts. We tear down strongholds. I mean, it says the weapons we have are there to demolish strongholds. And I looked up that passage thinking, well, what does that mean? What are we trying to demolish? Well, if you look a little bit deeper into that word, it's a stronghold which is a kind of a false reality, a false perception, which seems like a good place to hide, and you've gone into this kind of fantasy for protection, and actually it's become a prison. It's an interesting concept. It's a false reality that seems like a good place to hide, but it's become a prison. And you know, you may have different versions of that, but you know, an example would be, you know, if I can clean every surface in the entire house every day, then I'm never going to get sick, and the virus can never get me. And you know, it seems like a good idea, but actually, it's kind of not quite true. And suddenly, it's become a tyranny that you can't get out of, and you're trapped in a circle of maniacal cleaning to try and get you the peace that actually won't come that way, because we can't control everything. And what God wants to do is bring in a word that will give you peace, that will bring peace to that situation. It doesn't mean you don't need to clean, but you need to clean when he says, and you need to stop cleaning when he says, because you're not relying on something that seems like a good idea that you've run in to get your security from, and actually it's not helping. You know, we've all had that. I don't know. We've all had. You might have had. I, as a kid, you know, would have a dream where you're a little kid, and there's someone comes into the house, and you think, I need a place to hide, and you hide under the bed, or you hide under the cupboard under the stairs, and it seemed like a good idea, but then you're stuck in there, and you think, why didn't I run out of the house? Why didn't I do something different? Now you're waiting for the footsteps to come. Sorry if that's traumatizing you even more. But you know what I mean? It's that sort of thing. Anyway, God wants to bring and demolish those kinds of strongholds in our minds. And a passage which we've been kind of touching on a few times over these few weeks that we've been here is the passage in Philippians 4. And so if we go back to Philippians 4, I'm going to read it from the Message, because it's a great version for this situation. We're Philippians 4, verses 7 to 9, and this is where it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ." That means that God is standing, his peace is standing like a sentinel around you and around you, where you are. That's what he wants to do. But unfortunately, we kind of keep undoing that work with the things that we're letting in. And rather than taking captive thoughts and issues, we're letting them in to rob us of that peace and to come and take up residence on the inside. Even though we've asked God to protect us, we're undoing some of that work. And Paul gives a great list of things practical things to help. And this is how the Message version of the Bible says, summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmony. I love that. It summarizes it. It says, finally, brothers, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. And you think, well, what are all those things? You know, whatever is true is the facts. You know, sometimes we need to face the facts. We need to face the fact that we are, doesn't matter what we do, we are not completely protected with our own mechanisms. That there are risks of just being on this planet. And there were risks before this, and there are always risks. And sometimes we need to face those facts. We need to face what we're scared of. We need to not run away from it. We need to look it squarely in the face and say, oh yeah, you know, I'm afraid my business will not survive this situation. Okay, let's face it. But then we need to start allowing God to speak his words of peace into that and give us the truth of his perspective. So he takes our perspective, that's fine. We give that to him and then we allow him to speak his perspective. Whatever is noble, that's something to be in awe of something. I'm on a Facebook group that is shots from my window, and basically everyone around the world is sending these absolutely amazing shots from where they live in Norway and Arizona, and they're always absolutely beautiful. Apart from making you feel quite jealous that you don't have that view from your window, they're awe-inspiring. They're much better than just the round robin of 24-hour news. Yeah, we do need some facts, but tune in when you need to, maybe once a day, maybe twice a day at maximum. But being on an endless scroll of coronavirus updates is not going to do anything for your peace. Look at something awesome and awe-inspiring and majestic. Whatever is right, that means whatever is right in God's eyes. Whatever is just in his eyes. He says, you know, justice is feeding the widows and orphans. It's thinking about other people instead of yourself. It's not getting consumed with your own worries. It's saying, how can I help someone else? How can I help my neighbor? How can I make sure that my neighbor across the road who's worried about their daughter, how can I help them in a practical way? And once we take our eyes off ourselves, suddenly it brings that peace again. Whatever is pure, uncontaminated, that could be anything. I'm looking at my blossoms of my wisteria vine as they just come out. But, that's awe-inspiring. It's nature. It's uncontaminated. But it could be something that is just innocent. You know, kids, little teeny babies and, you know, all of those sorts of things that you just think, actually, yeah, that's an amazing perspective on life. Whatever is lovely. It means dearly prized or something that you have a personal affection for. That could be an object. It could be people, your family around you. It could be something you just actually thank you, God. That's an amazing thing. I still love that. I love and by focusing and taking our focus away from what the enemy wants, and he wants us consumed with all this other stuff, suddenly the peace of God starts to fill our hearts and our minds. A good report is what admirable means. It means actually good news. People recovering. 100-year-olds walking around their house. People getting out of hospital. Nurses and doctors who are staying as strong as they're and staying buoyant as they're helping people. Those are good reports. And then it talks about reasoning these things through, you know, actually not just hoping that it's going to make a difference, but actually applying some logic to that and saying, you know what, this is how I began thinking about today. But, you know, I am here. I am healthy. I am alive. I do have enough to eat. If you do, if you don't, then, you know, maybe pray. And if you know someone who doesn't, go and help them. And, you know, actually you start to get the mind of Christ. Every thought that comes in, it needs to be taken captive. It's okay to have a moment's blip and have a you know, sort of small half hour where you're feeling down. But actually, if you let that take a hold, it will overwhelm you. The Amplified version of the same passage says, center your mind on these things, implant them in your heart. It means that you need to make sure that the core of what you're thinking about are these things, and not allowing the bombardment of bad news, of stories and scare stories and fear to come bombarding in. You know, we've been singing today those songs, thanks Emily and Martin, they were good, because it starts off by saying, you know, I'm believing lies about myself. You know, I'm believing these things that are that others are saying, or I'm saying about myself. And actually, the only thing that's important is what you say. And then it goes on to say, you say I'm loved when I don't feel a thing. And that's important. It starts with the mind. It starts with taking captive the thoughts, and then the emotions and the feelings and the relief comes afterwards. So often is, you say I'm loved, God, therefore I am loved. You say I'm strong, even though I'm feeling not like that today. And so we take steps to fight off, take captive, imprison every thought that is setting itself up against the knowledge of God. I love the second song says, your goodness is running after me. And in Psalm 23, it says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, you can see that as goodness and mercy being like just two kind of people trudging along behind you. But I like to kind of think of goodness and mercy like two very enthusiastic sheepdogs, two border collies that are circling me constantly, keeping me back into, you know, pushing me back into this realm, the center of where God wants me, his peace, where I should be. And when I'm straying off, they come sweeping round, not in an aggressive way, but they just nudge me back into knowing how good and how merciful and how great God is. His mercy is running, his goodness is running after us. That's what it means. He's constantly trying to nudge us back onto the path, like those guys from on the road to Emmaus, to gently nudge them back to seeing the truth of their situation. So let me pray, and let me pray peace, and that this road of peace, that you would be travelling on it, and you'd be travelling in the right direction, not away from it, but back towards it and back towards where God wants you. So, Father, I thank you that your word, at your word, situations just change. You know, just say the word and I will be free. Say the word, I will be healed. Say the word, I will be free of this torment. And Lord, I know that you want to just speak your words right into the hearts of situations. You want to speak your words to people to say, still, be calm, it will be okay. Even though you can't see it, I have my hand on it. And whether that be families or businesses or people you love, God wants to say he is in control. He has his hands on those situations, and he wants to speak a word to you today to just reassure you. He wants to change your perspective to see it from his view. He wants to open your eyes. And so, Father, I thank you that that's what you're going to do today for each one of us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that mercy and goodness are trying to constantly corral us back, and that your peace is encamped around us. And let us this week not allow the enemy to lob stuff over the top that would rob us of that. In Jesus' name.